This is Brian Anderson, the editor of City Journal, and I'm delighted to welcome Troy Senek, a former speechwriter for President George W. Bush and senior fellow at the Center for Individual Freedom. Troy is a California native and has written a piece for our winter 2011 issue on California at the beginning of Governor Jerry Brown's return to office. The piece is entitled "The Radical Reform That California Needs." Troy, welcome.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Now, your piece argues that California's current economic difficulties are rooted at least in part in its political system, which is uniquely dysfunctional. Before we get to your core argument, though, could you describe just how bad the state's economy is right now?
Well, there's any number of metrics that tell that story. The one that gets the most immediate press is the current budget shortfall that we're facing, which is about $25 billion, but obviously it extends beyond public finance. I mean, you have, for instance, the results of a recent survey of 650 corporate heads who all deemed California to be the worst state in the nation to locate a new business in. You see it in our unemployment rate, which as of this recording is the fifth highest in the country and has been nestled in the double digits for quite some time. And you also see it in our long-term structural problems on the public finance side, especially in instances of things like the public pension system, where we're currently underwater to the tune of about $500 billion.
Now, the Golden State's political culture, as you describe it in this piece, makes dealing with these problems extremely difficult. Could you detail some of the sources of the state's political dysfunction as you see them?
Well, what's interesting about the way that California government functions is there's always been a big populist impulse in the state, and the way that that plays out is by having the electorate weigh in directly on a number of issues through things like our referendum and initiative system. And oftentimes that will result in every time that there is disquiet with the state legislature or the governor or government in California in general, there will be more and more restrictions placed on what they can and can't do. So for the longest time, we had a two-thirds requirement for the legislature to pass a budget, which actually just got repealed in the midterm elections in 2010. They still have a two-thirds requirement that prevents them from raising taxes without the supermajority, and they actually just got added onto that a two-thirds requirement even to increase fees. And a lot of these are actually laudable ideas on the policy side, but what you get is a lot of structural sclerosis as a result. And one of the things that makes it very difficult is that anything, whether it's an economic issue, whether it's a social issue, anything that gets presented on a ballot directly to the voters and then gets passed can only be repealed or altered by going to on the ballot again. And so that not only means that you have to build up a huge public will to get something done, it also means that the process of governing is delayed because we generally only have those elections every 2 years or so. So it's a system that is not, ironically, particularly responsive to the needs of the moment, even though it's built around this sort of populist notion that it's always going to be tuned in to the will of the electorate.
And what two or three political reforms might help fix this paralysis in a way that could help policymakers address some of these deep structural problems with California's economy?
Well, if you look at, obviously, one of the biggest things that we're facing, I mentioned the $500 billion shortfall for the public pension system. One of the things that we are just going to have to do to get anywhere close to fiscal sanity in the state is to change it from a system of defined benefits to defined contributions, to raise the retirement age, to up the amount that has to be contributed from the actual public employees themselves. California fell into a trap that a lot of states, of course, being California, we did bigger and better. But in the late 1990s, during the tech boom, we were just giving away hand over fist benefits to public employees. And if you look particularly at the public safety workers sector, in the late 90s, we set up a system where they could retire after 30 years of service at 90% of their final pay rate. And of course, that led to a lot of pension spiking in the last few years. People would get their salaries raised as a way to feather their nest in retirement. So that's something that has to be addressed in order to get the state fiscally sane. Another thing that should be looked at, and it may seem cosmetic, but I actually think that it's quite important, is when we bring these fiscal issues before the voters on the ballot, one of the sources of our runaway spending is the fact that oftentimes you will get ballot questions about spending for mental health services or child welfare, things that have a lot of emotional appeal. And they're never presented to the voters in any sort of cost-benefit calculation. It's basically, here's an issue that's emotionally resonant. Would you like to spend some money on it? And they're not required to provide for where that money comes from. And so over time, it compounds and compounds. And it also leads to a situation in which so much of the spending is directed from the ballot that the legislature itself doesn't have much control over the budget in the end. I mean, it varies year to year. But at the highest rate, we've had budgets where 85% of the spending was outside of the hand of the legislature. And so you've got to be able to free some of that up if you're talking about any serious change towards a fiscally sustainable outlook for the state.
Now, you have a new governor, once and former governor, Jerry Brown. Some of his friends say that if you look at his record as mayor of Oakland and in private life, he's shown himself to be fairly flexible in his viewpoints and the kind of pragmatist who might be able to really tackle some of these important reforms right now. He might be the guy needed to do it. What is your view of the likelihood of Brown succeeding on this score?
Well, it's interesting, especially because the piece was written prior to Brown being sworn in, and we're recording this a couple of weeks into the Brown administration. And so, you know, as much as we can extrapolate from 2 weeks' worth of experience, I would say that there's something to that contention that Brown is flexible enough to get some things done. But I'd say it's only about 60% of what the state needs. I mean, he has now rolled out his response to the financial crisis in California. And there's a lot of merit in it. We have a $25 billion shortfall. He's talking about making up about half of that through spending cuts, and a lot of it through spending cuts that you wouldn't necessarily expect a liberal Democrat to target. I mean, one of the things he's gone after are redevelopment agencies, which are all very well-intentioned. I mean, they're ways to sort of rehabilitate urban communities that have been blighted. But we've got about 450 of them, and there's no empirical validation for any of them working.
And they can issue debt, right?
I'm sorry?
They can extend credit and issue debt.
That's precisely right. And this is not, you know, it would be a soft target for a Republican, but it shows you some intellectual flexibility that Brown is willing to take it on. Now, about half of our shortfall is going to be made up through cuts like this, according to his plan. The other half would be through an extension of a group of temporary tax increases, sales tax, income tax, and our car taxes, which have been present for 2 years and are set to expire. He wants to extend them for another five. And given that all of those rates are among the highest in the nation, that obviously is problematic for the state's economic future. So I think that he's good in the sense of being willing to take on maybe some sacred cows that you wouldn't expect from a Democrat. But the two shortcomings are he's still just as willing as most of the other Democrats in Sacramento to advance a high tax agenda as a way to get out of this. And also, when you take the spending cuts under the microscope, one of the things that you will notice is he does absolutely nothing to tackle the issues that are the most sensitive for public sector unions. There's no addressing whatsoever yet, anyway, of the public pensions in the state, and really no addressing of the salaries and the size of the public workforce in California. And those are really the issues around which the unions in the state close ranks.
Thanks very much, Troy. To read Troy Senek's article, The Radical Reform That California Needs, visit our website, www.city-journal.org, where you'll find that piece, the latest in our ongoing coverage of the West Coast, and lots more. Thanks again, Troy.
Thank you.